Okay. Now, remove the pages from the tree and set them aside. Take the Ten of Swords and put it on top of the Tens, and put the Tens back in position on the tree. And I want you to do the same with the other numbers. Put the swords on top of all the numbers. And when you finished with that, take the Knight of Swords, put that on top of the Knights, and then put the Knights on the Sixes and Teferet. Okay, is everybody done with that? Everybody now have the Knight of Swords on top of the Knights and all the Knights on the Sixes and Teferet? Okay. This is the world of elemental air as it dissolves and returns through the Knight of Swords. Remember a little while ago we had the King of Swords on the Sixes and Teferet. That was in the world of emergence. As the world came into being, the King of Swords was heir of air. But now that the world is returning to its origins, now that the world is in pursuit of its own spirituality, the Knight of Swords is heir of air. The old has become young. The king has become the knight. The queen became the page in the world of earth. So the Knight of Swords is the seal of air in the world of air on the journey of return. Remove the knights. Replace the swords with cups on every number. When you're done with that, put the Queen of Cups on top of the Queens, and place the Queens on the Threes in Bina. Is everybody about finished?
Yep.
Anybody not? Good. This is the world of elemental water, as it dissolves and returns through the Queen of Cups. The Queen of Cups has replaced the page now as water of water. On the road of return, on the journey of the spirit, the Queen of Cups is water of water. The Queen of Cups is the seal of water in the world of water, on the journey of return. Now, finally, remove the queens. Replace the cups with wands on all the numbers. When you're done with that, put the King of Wands on top of the King, and place the Kings across the Twos in Wisdom and Chochmah. You guys must be getting to be old hands at this. You must be able to move through this fairly rapidly by now. How are you doing?
Good.
Everybody done?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the world of elemental fire as it dissolves and returns to the King of Wands. Look at this world carefully now, because this is the end of the road. This is the complete circle. The world has been completely created from out of nothing and has become solid and real in the Queen of Pentacles. And now the world has returned from the dream of solid reality to the spiritual awakening of its own origins. It has returned to its original fire. It has found itself back at the beginning of the whole process. The King of Wands is now fire of fire. It is the completely mature human being who has been through every conceivable form of the journey of emergence and return. He has been completely created, and he has recreated himself as a creature of spirit. And in this world, the King of Wands is the seal of fire and the world of fire on the journey of return. So a cycle of creation and return has just been symbolically enacted, and it awaits its completion in a final act. Remove the kings from the tree. Put the queens on top of the kings. Put the knights on the queens and the pages on the knights. Put the world on top of the pages. Put judgment on the world. And put all the majors, one on top of another, in descending order, until the fool is face up on top of the stack. How's everybody doing? Almost there. How's everybody doing now?
Done.
Anybody not? Okay. The tree of life has now been deconstructed down to its numbers. It's beginning to dissolve into the Ein Sof. Not quite finished yet, because now you're going to put the tens on top of the fool. Put the nines on the ten, and all the numbers, one set on top of another, until the aces are on top of the deck, with the ace of wands on the very top. Anyone not done yet?
Done.
Good. A complete picture of creation has just emerged for a moment on your tabletop. It came out of the ordered symbols of a tarot deck and now has been withdrawn into a deck once again. The last act of understanding of a tarot adept is to return the great order of tarot symbols into the random disarray of a shuffled deck. So what I want you to do now is to shuffle your deck three times, no more, no less. Do it now. Good. I want you to look at this ordinary deck of shuffled cards, which is the symbol of our ordinary world. And for a moment, close your eyes. Breathe and relax. Become aware of the mysteries, the knowledge, and the power that this deck possesses. I want you to review, with your eyes closed and your breath even, as much as you can remember about the Sephirot and the numbers that represent them. Remember their names, remember their positions, remember as much as you can of what they mean. Remember the Ein Sof. Remember the darkness that came before the beginning, on which these beautiful, magnificent numbers hang like stars. Now review what you remember about the letters and the trumps, about the ways in which the letters speak the world into existence, in which their music and color and meaning and number and all the things that they are, all the layers and levels that they represent. Remember that they're the names of God. Remember that they're mantras that speak the world into existence. Remember that the tarot trumps are those things. Review what you remember. Now remember the four worlds, the worlds of fire and water and air and earth, the worlds of emanation and creation and formation and manifestation, the ways in which one layer after another are put into place in order that our world be visible and concrete and real, and the ways in which they dissolve, in which one after another is taken away, deconstructed and removed, how the worlds create and return everything that there is, and how the court cards are the embodiment of the act of creation in human form. Remember those things. Review what you remember. Take a deep breath. Bring yourself back to ordinary times, ordinary places, ordinary thoughts and feelings. Feel the room around you, and whatever it is you're sitting on that's holding you up. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Well, guys, welcome back. The course is over, but your work has just begun. And that's the work of transforming all of this data into knowledge. It's a life's work. And you thought, you know how many people say, oh gee, I can teach you tarot in 10 minutes. You can. And you can also teach tarot in 10 lifetimes. So how are you feeling? What's the sense? Now, you're sitting there with a shuffled deck in front of you, having seen the process by which the whole world comes into existence and departs again. You've seen how the whole world is turned into everyday, mundane, simple stuff by the simple act of shuffling. You realize now that you can, whenever you wish, reorganize the deck into its systems, into its knowledge, into all of its parts, into the ways in which it makes sense. You may or you may not realize, but you've just been given the foundation upon which all the interpretations of the cards exist. This is where the meanings of the cards come from. This is where all the pictures come from. This is where all the physical cards come from. This is the root. You've been given the root. Long ago, you had the branches. Now the time has come, I guess, to establish the trunk, to put the strong, solid material of understanding and knowledge into place. You remember that at the top of the tree, there's the crown through which everything passes, through which all the energies of the universe, all the energies of Ein Sof, all the energies of God come pouring through. And you remember wisdom, and you remember understanding. Do you remember that little unspoken of, kind of vague circle in the middle of the abyss that's called Da'at, that's called knowledge? Those three things, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, are considered to be a triad, even though knowledge is not acknowledged as a sephira, because wisdom is what is given to you without limit. Understanding is the attempt to tame that wisdom, to make it knowable. And your entire life is spent trying to grasp, hold on to, contain, give shape and usefulness to the wisdom that you've been granted. That's the act of understanding. And when, if it ever happens, that you have completely grasped, completely understood, looked at from every angle until there's nothing left to see, when you've done that with all the wisdom that you've been given, then you'll have knowledge. That's the process of learning tarot. That's the esoteric process of learning tarot. That's the magical, the mystical, the philosophical aspect of learning tarot. And the reading is the miracle that comes out of all of that. We do the miraculous part first without even knowing what we're doing. Oh, let's do a reading. And you do, because it's perfectly possible to apply the images of the cards to the events of everyday life. We do it all the time. It's really not difficult. But to understand what you're doing, to understand what you're holding, to know what you're looking at, that is the process of awakening. When you look at yourself in the mirror, be aware that you're looking at a tarot deck. Be aware that your own insides are an exact representation, an exact replica of the world outside. That all those universes of stars and galaxies and dusts and quarks and, you know, and quasars and all the things that physics talks about is only the very last step in a huge process that creates the physical world last. And behind that physical world is an endless series of universes of the invisible, and that you are all that is visible and all that is invisible at the same time. You, personally. And the tarot deck represents you. And that's what you hold in your hands. That's what's sitting on the table in front of you now. So it's a big thing, an interesting thing, something to ponder, something to contemplate. It's not something that can be taken in all at once. Even the ideas that I'm saying now, I'm not even sure whether at this point it even has fertile ground to land on. It may be that by this time you're numb, because sometimes taking in too much can make you numb. It may be that your personal inclination is not to go in this direction, although I doubt that you would be here if that were true. But it takes time to make this stuff real for you. Right now it's still just words. At least I think so. Maybe I should ask. What I'm going to do, actually, I think, is in the time that's remaining to us, I'm going to kind of give you a second or two, a minute maybe, to think of anything you might want to say, any questions you might want to ask or comments you want to make. And then I'm going to give you a chance to say them, and we'll conclude with that. So take a moment to think if there's anything you want to know or anything you want to say. Okay, actually, what I'm going to do, I think, is I'm going to just kind of go down the list. I have, you know, I have your names all on a roster of attendants, and I'm going to ask you each one in turn whether you have something that you'd like to ask or state. Adela, how about you?
Well, what I was thinking, this is a lot of information. And I was thinking, how could I make this information my own besides memorizing this stuff? Is there a way to work with the cards, with this material?
The way to do that is the way you sort of learn anything that's really important. You find it where it is to be found. Read.
Okay.
There are 1,000 books, 10,000 books, 100,000 books on the subject of Kabbalah.
Can you recommend any?
I can, but I'm not going to do that right this second. We can talk about that privately, but I can certainly set you on the path, and I can give you a lot, and over a period of time. I mean, it'll take a long time to read the books that I'm going to give you. By the time you finish reading the ones that I tell you about, the bibliographies in those books and the references in those books will lead you on a trail.
Okay.
And you can follow that trail as far as your heart, you know, desires.
Okay, great.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Shahrazad?
Okay, well, first I just want to say this is really awesome. I mean, I started out when we were laying the cards out at the end, and I was sort of smug about it, and I was laying them out by memory. But the whole part of the path of return and viewing each set with each of the elements for each of the worlds, it was just an eye-opener for me, and I know I need to spend a lot of time contemplating each of the worlds using the pictures and the cards of the suits that represent the elements of that world. I mean, it's just the way that structure shifted was amazing.
Well, I'm really delighted because I was hoping that that would happen. Sometimes, if the presentation is right, it'll create a momentum that actually shifts something inside of you.
That's, it was just incredible, and I'm just so glad you did this.
I'm really glad. And you know, this feeling, the feeling that you have now, will only last for a certain amount of time because the ordinary world closes in on you and the mundane takes over. It can't help it. It's its nature. That's what it does. But if enough of a spark of this feeling remains, then the task contemplating tarot and the task of understanding its parts and what it does, remember we were talking a long time ago about kaf, the closed fist, the way that you grasp the immense cycles of creation? That's pretty much what you're talking about here. That's one of the implications, by the way, of the wheel. But in any case, have at it. Have fun.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Good. Debbie?
I know one thing. This is going to help me in the course.
Yes, it will.
Doing the course, and it just is a lot of information, which I'm just going to study.
Good. That's the only thing you can do is take your time, be patient, and for those people, for those of you who either are or have taken the correspondence course, this is the material that kind of opens up a lot of the stuff that's just said. It's really funny when you first see it in the correspondence course or in any book, and you see references to the esoteric material, it looks so useless, it looks so woebegone, it looks so dry and so uninteresting. And when you know what it's about, holy cow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really great. So, for you, it will do exactly that. Gina, how about you?
I think laying the cards out in the way we did kind of sparked some thoughts as I'm looking, observing what's going on. It's like, you know, this is everything that we think of when, you've got the swords down. It's like, I don't know, for me it works kind of different, but it just helps me kind of look at what I'm actually, because sometimes when you're doing a reading, you get stumped and you're like, well, what is it trying to say?
Yep.
And it helps to kind of go through this stuff, and maybe there's a message that it kind of, answers what you're trying to get out of it more than it's not actually a practical thing that they need to learn.
Sometimes the issues that are in front of you, let's put it this way. Sometimes a person will come to you and ask a question. You lay out the cards, and the cards don't tell you anything. They're blank. Mm-hmm. They look like they don't refer to the question at all. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this about? And that's never the case. It's an article of faith with me that any card can answer any question. Mm-hmm. Any group of cards can answer any question. It's because all the cards are places to stand from which you can look at anything. They're all perspectives. They're all places that you can approach something from. So no matter what the issue is, which is what you're looking at, all the cards can look at those issues from some perspective or another. But sometimes the perspective is practical, sometimes it's psychological, sometimes it's spiritual. Remember, there are four worlds with many combinations and permutations of those worlds. Remember that the 22 major arcana are all senses. Those intelligences are senses. They're ways of actually apprehending. Just like the sense of sight is a way of grasping the physical world. Well, the sense of sight in the Emperor is like that too. That's a function. The constituting intelligence, the thing that gives each thing its shape and form and internal arrangement and organization, that's the Emperor. And there's always a way of making the card speak to you about something, but which level is it on? So if you know this material, you have access to those levels. You have access to the spiritual, you have access to the psychological, you have access to the hidden, the esoteric, the magical. Sometimes that's what you need. But other times, no. Just recently, Ruth Ann was doing a reading for her daughter. And one of the cards that was involved in the reading was the Chariot reversed. And in the context of the question that was asked, Ruth Ann couldn't quite figure out what to do with that. She just was sort of stumped, and she was talking about the other cards first, hoping that by the time she got to the Chariot, she would figure it out. Right? So she said something or other, whatever it was, and she wasn't particularly satisfied with that, but her daughter said, oh, I know what that is. And so Ruth Ann said, what? She said, I put the cart before the horse. Because it was a process of something. She had to make choices about some things, and she, the way she was going about it, everybody was telling her she was putting the cart before the horse. So here was the Chariot reversed, and that's what it said to her under the circumstances. It was the perfect interpretation. Nothing esoteric about that.
Very funny. And I also would be interested in any book recommendations that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a number of them. I'm going to have to consider carefully because there are levels of intensity and levels of knowledge that each of these books involves. Originally, I would tell people to start with Robert Wang's Kabbalistic Tarot, simply because in that book he produces some very, very good, clear notes on this material. If all you did was read the book and you didn't have this background, the book would tend to put you to sleep, I think. It had that tendency with many people. The material is so abstruse and it's so difficult to get in a written form that it tends to, you know, kind of knock you out. But it was a good place to start, and if you had taken this course already, it would have been a great review. But unfortunately, for some reason or other, that book seems to be out of print now, or it's very difficult to get, so I can't recommend that. I'm going to have to actually look at my reference library and decide what order I think would be a good one for you to work with. I don't think I can give it to you right off the top of
my
head.
Fine.
But I'll do that. I definitely will get back to each of you and give you that information because I think you'll probably find it fun. But in the meantime, look at your notes. Review them. If something looks unusual, if something looks interesting, or if something looks completely unintelligible, think about it. Sleep on it. Work at it. And if you can't think of anything else, call me and ask me, and I'll work on it with you. It takes a lot of time and effort on my part to do that, but I would be willing, at least up to a point, if I can manage, you know, the time, I would be delighted to do that. But spend the time on your own to think about what it might mean. I will give you as many references as I can another time. Overall, everybody seems to be pleased, and everybody seems to say, gee, I want to take this further. You know that what I've given you is just the beginning. You know you've got to go somewhere with this stuff. If you just leave it the way it is, it's just going to kind of, you know, disappear. So hopefully the urge to follow it up will be there, and I will try to help you make that happen. The practical parts of it, all you can do with this stuff is work it. Take the data and make it into usable information by working with it. I've given you some suggestions as to how you can use those things, sort of examples. Look at each one of the functions. Look at the intelligences. Sometimes looking even at the words, like for example, the meaning of justice is an ox goad. It's so fun. Thinking of justice that way, thinking of the sword that's sticking up in justice's hand as basically being a pointed object to stick you in the rear end with to get you moving, to keep you on a straight and narrow path. You know, oxen have a tendency to wander all over the place. And the point of the ox goad keeps the ox on the straight and narrow, keeps it going where the person wants it to go. And that's what it does. That's what justice does. It's called the faithful intelligence. It works all the time. Justice keeps the whole universe straight. If the universe were not kept straight by justice, it would wobble and the whole tree would fall apart. In the context of a reading, justice has the same quality. It keeps the whole thing from falling apart. It keeps you on the straight and narrow. It keeps you knowing what's true. It keeps you from being fooled by illusions. It keeps you from being fooled by lies. It gives you a clear eye, a clearer view. Those are the kinds of things that you can get from that list of attributions for the numbers. Look at all of the things we work with all the way through. The numbers, the letters, the worlds, and you will find masses of information in it which will be helpful, but you have to work it. I guess that's really all I can say about that. I've told you that so many times now that any more would be a repetition, so I'll stop on that. I would like to comment to you guys that you've made a great audience. I have so truly enjoyed working with you. And if I didn't have you guys to talk to, literally I'd be talking to myself, and I really, truly appreciate your willingness to come out late at night and do this work and sit with it and listen to it. It's such a pleasure. And I hope that we will be able to do it again soon. Different subject matter, of course, but it's all basically the same stuff. We always talk about tarot. So on that cheery note, I'm going to wish you good night. For the sake of the tape, we are basically done.